We want to be a church that reaches people. We want to be a church that reaches the lost. We want to be a church that is a sending church to those who are in need. And so today we're going to hear from Pastor Lance Cottridge. He's going to be sharing with us what God is doing in our midst here as he is our church planting pastor here at Dighton Church. And so Lance, come on up and share with us what the Lord has upon your heart today.
Well, good morning. For those of you that don't know me, as I try to get my iPad set up here, there we go. Like Jim said, yes, my name is Lance Cottridge, born and raised in Michigan. I grew up in the Grand Rapids area. I come from a long family of just brokenness. And, you know, we're talking about miracles, and this wasn't planned. So I'm not an emotional guy, but if I cry, Jack, it's going to be okay. Talking about miracles, and I look at my family history and, divorce and just a bunch of garbage. And I've seen God move in my midst and my family miracles. And out of the four children, three of us are full-time pastors. Like, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. So the background of me, I have my wife and I have three kids. Two of them are in here with me. So can you guys stand up? I know. They're like, no. Bye. So, my middle one won't. Typical middle kid. So married, have three wonderful kids, been married, it'll be 10 years this year, and God's really blessed me with that. And you guys, like Jim said, we're here to plant a church. And some of you guys are like, hold up, like, I don't want to go plant a church. That's fine. That's great. But why I'm here today is I want to just talk to you guys about what it means to really plant a church, what it means to just really see God move. And I imagine most, if not all of us, have seen God move in our lives, right? We've seen him in our lives and how he's interacted and how we've interacted with him. And before we dive in, I just want to kind of give a couple of statistics here of Cadillac. And, we moved from Iowa. So you want to talk about corn and soybeans, that's us. We're from Iowa. I was a pastor there for a while, and it was great. But, man, like, God's just been working in our hearts. And just really, as I've done research on Cadillac, really just see, I've been able to see why he's planted us here in Cadillac, but why he's put us here in Dighton. Dighton Wesleyan with Jim Gulish, Pastor Jim. And man, I can't say enough, one, thank you for your leadership in this church, for being vulnerable, for encouraging people to reach the lost. Man, we need more pastors like Pastor Jim. Can we just give him some, like, come on now. Give this guy some love. Yeah. So Jim talks about reaching the lost in Cadillac. A statistic that kind of blew my mind is 62% of people are not in church this morning. 62. And for me, I look at that and I say, okay, 62% of the people claim no religious affiliation or no church affiliation. That means that they're not attending the church. That means out of the 10,000 people in Cadillac, I'm not a mathematician, but 6,200. That's staggering to me. We want to talk about reaching the lost. Man, there's a lot of lost people out there. For me, I look at Matthew chapter 9, 39 through 35, and it's not going to be up there, but man, it's talking about the harvest. Like, man, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The workers are few, and I think that shows us that, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that's just Cadillac. I don't know what Dighton or Tustin or the Three Rivers School District is. I don't know what that statistic is, but I imagine it's pretty close. In my time in Iowa, what I found is that people who don't go to church are really, really lonely. And maybe some of you guys are lonely today. Maybe you feel lonely. I know we have in our ministry. Sometimes in life, we felt lonely. But the church is a place for people to belong, right? Over the last 4 years, that feeling of loneliness has grown over and over again by 1 or 2% each year. And a lot of people may be saying, okay, well, that's great. There's churches in Cadillac. There are. In fact, if you look up churches in Cadillac, there's around 30 or 40 churches who claim the name church or house of praise or house of God or something like that. Yet there's 62% of people not in a church. It's interesting to me, right? 55% of people say that religious people are too judgmental. Whew. That's staggering. I don't like that stat because I know I grew up in the church. So why are we here? We're here to help break that mindset. We're here to help that 62% go down. We're here to help that over 50% of people who think church is too judgmental go down. That's why we're here. That's what Dighton Wesleyan, I know, wants to see. My prayer is that you do as well. So as we get started, I just want to really just dive in. But before we do that, I want to just pray. I love praying. And I love to just ask the Holy Spirit to move. So will you pray with me real quick? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your presence today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you move, that you speak. Holy Spirit, may it be your words and not mine today. Holy Spirit, may you come and fill this place. Open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us today. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. Amen. So those stats were staggering to me. They were kind of like, ooh, that's high. And a couple weeks ago, I took my oldest son, Joe, to go see that movie, Jesus Revolution. And man, it's a good movie. But there was a line that stuck out to it, or to me in it. And in the movie, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's about like the hippies coming to church. Like, whoo, the hippies coming to church. You know, those people who like, if I set foot in the church will burn down. Like, ooh. But we see this revolution kind of happen. We see this revival happen in these churches. And it started because one guy said, you know what, I'm open my church. Come preach. Come on in. Let's hear what the Lord has to say. And I love it because there's an usher at the door. And if you're an usher, I'm not picking on you, but there's an usher at the door who was like, they're not wearing shoes. Like, dude, we got new nice carpets, shag carpet. Like, it is like the good stuff, right? We bought a house that has a little bit of thicker shag carpet in it. It's awesome. And yeah, I know, right? But they're not wearing shoes. And they're so concerned about the carpet. And I love what happens in the movie because the pastor goes, okay. And he kneels down at the door and washes all their feet before they come in. And I love that because I'm like, man, if that's not Jesus saying all are welcome, come as you are, not as we are. Man, that's awesome. So as we look at that, I want to ask you this. Did Jesus look like the high priest in the temple? Did Jesus look like the people who he sat with? Did he look like the people that would go to church? No, he sat with messy people, with broken people. He got in their lives and walked alongside them. Jesus, he didn't teach like the high priest. Instead, he focused on the relationship. He walked in the fields and allowed for the Lord to provide for him. He walked along men who many considered to really be, I don't want to say untouchable, but like, wouldn't be calling them to be the high priest. I mean, a tax collector, whew, he turned his whole back on his family, turns back on everybody. Not sure about that. Jesus walked with people who others wouldn't. He healed those who were outcasts. He healed those who had leprosy. He healed the lame, the blind. He healed all these people, right? He went out to find the lost and the broken. He went out of his comfort zone to see what God and to really do what God wanted him to do. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is about walking like Christ. For us as Christians, to walk in this obedience to Christ means that we have to go to the messy people, to the broken people. To walk as Christ means we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and our bubble and say, you know, I'm a Christian, and because I'm a Christian, I want to see people come to know Christ. Something new has to happen. For my wife and I, we were in youth ministry for a number of years, and I grew up in the church in youth ministry. And I never get sick of seeing new people come to know the Lord. I've sat with people who had multiple different mental disabilities. I've sat with kids who were suicidal. I've sat with kids who were going through some stuff, tough stuff in their life. Our first year in ministry over in Iowa, that first like 1 or 2 months, all of a sudden I have a girl who's never come to the church who's pregnant. I have kids who are suicidal. And I have all these other things happening in this ministry. And I'm like, man, Lord, I'm like a month and a half in. Can I at least like get 6 months and then you can bring this stuff? And I'll never forget sitting in my office and God going, I called you to the broken. I called you to the sick. I didn't call you to the saints, to the people that are having their lives together. It's like, man, okay, God, I hear you. And it was tough. It was tough. But I'll never forget seeing a student who was just really struggling, a student who was just having such a tough time at home, and to finally see that break free. Like, oh, okay, God, I see it. Parents who are going to get divorced who are now leading marriage ministries. Those are things that, for me, I get excited about. So that word new, fresh, new, something that's different than what we've seen in the past. In Cadillac, there's a lot of people looking for something new. Yeah, I've been to that church down the road. Not really a big fan of it. The pastor, he's bald, kind of short, chubby. It's cool. You know, they wear jeans there. Not a fan of that. Or, ooh, maybe they wear all shirt and tie, and I'm not a shirt and tie guy. The first time I preached in one of the churches, I had to wear a full suit, and I'm like, man, you better turn the AC on full blast in the middle of winter. Because I sweat. But what I'm getting at is that we as Christians are called to do something different. We as Christians are called to look a little different than society. We as Christians are called to go out, proclaim the gospel to people, to live alongside them, to teach them what Jesus has for them, but more importantly, to show them the love of Christ. I want us to think about something here. And I want to look at a story in the book of John. John chapter 4. And many of you guys, if you have grown up in church, you may know the story really well. And it's the woman at the well. And you're like, man, it's Palm Sunday. Why are you talking about this? I don't know, because Jim let me have a mic. So we're going to go with it, right? So John chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 says this. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Okay, I'm going to pause there real quick. He's baptizing people. The Pharisees are like, oh, he's baptizing people, blah, 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 like getting mad at him, right? And it's like, well, hold up. Like, hold the phone, buddy, okay? Jesus was baptizing, but it really wasn't him, it was his disciples. Now, if we rewind a little bit, we see John baptized Jesus, and Jesus comes up, and what happens? Devil sends God. Ah, it's my son with whom I'm well pleased, right? So we see this happen. And now his disciples are acting in obedience because of what they've seen Jesus do. Okay, and now it's making the Pharisees mad. It's making the pastors of the church mad. Okay. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" I want us to pay attention to this thing right here. That it says, for the Jews did not associate with Samaritans, okay? The Jews did not, I'm one ahead of me, sorry. Well, give me a drink. It says, his disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? because Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Okay. So we have Jesus sitting down with this lady, right? His disciples are gone into a town. They went to buy food. I mean, come on now. Right? Pot roast is in the oven at home. Like, pom, wrap it up. Right? They're going to get food. We're all hungry. Jesus is hungry. The Jews didn't associate with the Samaritans because there was this, like, turf war, okay? It's like the Crips and the Bloods of the area. Like, oh, coming to this town. Come on, man, right? Like, it's something that I'm from Grand Rapids to Lake Esno, so I have a little bit of, you know, just different culture. But we see this turf war going on. Like, we're not going to associate. They're Jews. We're Samaritans. They think they're better than us. We know who's better. And so this Samaritan woman's like, dude, why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus is sitting with a woman who many people wouldn't sit with. It's about noon. Noon is one of the hottest times in that area. Noon is when everybody is actually off of work because it's hot. There's no AC. I don't know what I'd do without AC, but it'll be bad. So it's hot. All these ladies have already come out. They've drawn their water. They're back in their homes. And this one single lady is sitting there. Why is that? Because she's someone that people don't want to associate with. Now, I'm going to fast forward here because we have a lot to get through, but man, I saw a guy who was talking about this story, a pastor, and it really hit me hard, and I'm going to fill in the gaps here. So Jesus is sitting there, and he tells her, hey, you know, blah, 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 if you only knew who I am, all this stuff, right? Jesus is awesome with that, and he gives some words, okay? And he says, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. And he looks at her and says, you're right, because you have five. And the man you're with now is not your husband. Now, this lady was like, hold up. I don't know who you think you are, but how'd you know that? I mean, I know I'm the talk of the town, but, like, I've never seen you in my town. I know that people talk about me, but, man, like, how do you know all this, okay? So, as he's sitting there, telling her who he is and showing him, she says this statement in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. So this lady's sitting there talking about this Messiah. I know the Messiah, Jesus, is going to come. He's going to set us free. He's going to be awesome, coming with this massive sword, like, right, Star Wars style. He's going to come in and do this thing, and this lady's like, I know who he's going to be. And Jesus is just sitting there going, it's me. I'm him. See, because Jesus didn't look like people expected him to look. Jesus didn't look like a king who people would say is going to come and free us. On Palm Sunday, he came riding on a donkey. Palm branches are waving. People's stuff coats are being laid down on the roadside. The donkey has to walk on those instead. He's coming in like a king on Palm Sunday, but he doesn't look like a king sitting by the well. And I find that interesting for me in my life because oftentimes I look at Christ and I say, man, am I being like Christ? Or am I trying to be like the king? See, there's a phrase that I've heard around the church world, and this is why I love Jim so much and I appreciate him. And many pastors, when they look at their church, it's their castle. We can see them on TV. We see these pastors on TV, and you know, you're going to build your castle, these seats, or you're going to build the kingdom. And Jim gets that. He's not here to build a castle here in Dighton. He's here to build the kingdom. And he's called people to build the kingdom, to help build the kingdom. We continue on then. It says, just then his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, and why are you talking to her? So homeboys are coming back up, walking, right, from Speedway. They have their pizza, the Mountain Dew. They're walking like, huh, he's talking to a lady sitting at a well. This is kind of weird. Like, have you seen Jesus talk to a lady? I've never. Like, I mean, I see him healed, but like, why is he there alone? Then leaving the water, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Okay, so they're rolling up to Jesus, and this lady just saw some gone, right? Dude, you're going to ask him, Peter? I'm not going to talk to him about it. Last time I talked to him, right? Like, the disciples are kind of going, whew, what's happening here? They have no idea what Jesus is doing, what he's saying. They don't know the reputation of the lady, but it's like, we can kind of guess. Noon, single lady, getting water. Questionable motives. Come on, Jesus. Like, I mean, I know you're the Messiah, but who? She said, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the king, the one who's going to free us? Could this be the guy that's going to come and save us that we've been praying and waiting for years to come? Could this be him? Could I have just had this interaction with him who told me everything I've ever done? How did he know this? Could this be him? The lady hears, this woman at the well hears, and this guy say, I am the Messiah. At that time, there were many people who were like, hey, man, I'm the Messiah. Like, I can teach with authority, I'm the Messiah. But there's something different. She caught something different with Jesus to where she was so captivated that she ran to this town. We'll pause there. What town did she come from? The same town that the disciples were just in. Hold the phone, okay? Jesus, this lady had an encounter with Jesus. She runs off, leaving everything there, all of her supplies for the day. And she entered into the town telling everybody about him because she experienced God. Because her story, many people believed in Christ and got saved. See, I find it interesting because in this story, if we do a character chart, and I'm not a literature major either, we'd see Jesus, and you're like, okay, like on this chart of Jesus, disciples, Samaritan woman, who's the most likely to bring people back to Jesus, right? The Samaritan woman or the disciples? Probably the disciples, we'd say, right? Oh, that's their job. They went in there good Speedway, got the pizza and Mountain Dew, brought nobody back with them. Because they became complacent, I think, in their faith. They were so focused on their hunger that they missed a moment to bring people to Christ. And church, I often wonder, are we too complacent in our faith? Now, I'm not trying to, okay, don't throw tomatoes, don't get mad. But are we sometimes too complacent in our faith to where, like, you know, God, I know I see this same person at the gas station every morning. And I do the whole, oh, hey, have a good day. Swipe my card. Oh, thanks. Bye. Are we too complacent and say, hey, how can I pray for you today? When we go out to eat on Sunday afternoons, do we ask the waitress, hey, we're about to pray as a family for this food. How can we pray for you? Do we talk to people about Christ who, you know, our coworkers who walk up to them and say, man, I've just had a terrible weekend. My kid did this. My husband did this. My wife did that. I'll be praying for you. Are we too shameful or too scared? And we're too focused on our own selves to focus on what Christ has for us. See, the disciples have been walking with Jesus for a while now. They knew him. They've seen him do stuff. They've seen the power of God on display. It became normal to them now. I started off by saying, you know, miracles, people coming to know Christ. When was the last time you've led someone to Christ? Maybe you haven't in a while. Maybe you've never. But I don't know about you, but if you've ever done it, you kind of get a high. Not in a bad way, but like that spiritual high, like, oh, Lord, come on. I want more of that. Give me more of that. Send me someone else. Give me someone that needs to hear your words. And what happens when we first learn about Christ? We do what this lady did. New believers are famous for it. They go out and they tell everybody. Man, look at this. Oh, like people are like, man, you look different. Yeah, I got saved at church. You got saved. I'll never forget, I have a buddy who people, when he came to church and got saved, people are like, dude, like, you were the guy that we threw parties at your house. Like, all the stuff we did, you? And he's like, yeah, man, I know, right? Let me tell you about Jesus. And it was awesome. We saw people's lives getting changed because of what Christ did. He had a fresh and a new anointing, a fresh experience with Christ. And he went out and told everybody that he could. See, this lady was someone that many would consider a prostitute in some regards, that many would consider someone who, well, she got around. We'll just leave it at that. And I think of who that could be. Who that could be in our lives. Who do we know that, like, ooh, Lord, they need Jesus? I ask you, who is one person in your life right now that you're praying for? Who are you asking, Lord, may you open that door so they can come to you? Because they need Jesus. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a sister, maybe it's a coworker. Who is the one person in your life that you're praying that Lord opens a door to where you can lead them to Christ? You see, because once we have that fresh anointing and that fresh awakening, we can see what happens. Leah had a fresh anointing with Christ. And I believe that's what God wants to do in Cadillac. I'm going to ask the band to come join me as we get ready to close. I know I missed my cue. Sorry, band. That's what happens when you give me a mic. I don't follow them all too often. But I look at Cadillac and I look at this church and I say, man, who has God gifted here in this church to go and be that lady, to preach the gospel to the lost, to come alongside and to help God's work be done in Cadillac? 6,200 people without hope. 6,200 people without a Savior, 6,200 people who have no idea who Christ is, who are just waiting for something new to happen in their lives. But church, it's not just about Cadillac. It's not just about what we're doing. I want to encourage you and challenge you this week with these three action points. Who's your one that you're praying for? Are you willing to next week invite them to church? Everybody's open to come to church on Easter. Ah, come to church. It's once. And what can God do in that one time? That one encounter. That one experience with Him. Don't give up praying. Invite them. And once you invite them, talk to them about Jesus. Be willing to have that hard conversation. Be willing to sit down and say, you know what? I'm not going to sit because I might not get back up. You know what? I love you and I care for you and I want you to know that there's hope in this world. I want you to know that there's someone that loves you unconditionally. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've seen, there's someone that loves you. And His name is Jesus. So church, I ask you this. One last thing. Will you go out and will you be a part of someone's story? Will you go out and will you be a part of someone's story and how they came to know Christ?